and the archive of Holinshed Hall that Shakespeare and Nash are working through has ripples of strange rebel writing practices. In other words, they destroyed very particular kinds of court records. And that's generally depicted as an all-out attack on writing. So what I'd like to argue is that we would be mistaken to expect a positive, and by positive I don't mean in evaluative terms, but simply an actual representation of popular protest as a sort of literate writing practice in the play. And then instead, this sort of strange moment with parchment and sheep is, if you like, a realization on stage of a kind of ripple in the archive of the Peasants' Revolt that records, even though they were the ones systematically obliterating the record, actual differently literate writing practices on the part of ordinary people.
You make that connection with literary criticism clearer to me. I mean, I always identified with Eden, so that I need you to spell it out just in simpler terms.
Sure. Okay. Anthony Eden. Sorry, Anthony Eden. Iden. He's Iden in the play, not Eden.
Yeah.
I should not confuse me. Iden.
Iden's my problem.
No. Iden is a bad historicist, and who's essentially reads Utopia and sort of fails to miss the fact that it's a conversation about making a manufacture. And Jack Cade is there's a moment at which Jack Cade is engaged in a moment of archival politics, in sort of attempting to actually change the modes of writing. So, and that's essentially what I'm advocating as a deconstructive term, a sort of return to the 1980s.
I want to pick up on the moment of the sheep, but first I just want to say, because I've mentioned this publicly, that I love listening to that, and that every encounter with your work has been, for me, like a dizzying attempt. I feel myself trying to change my perspective when I listen to your work, to the kinds of switches in perspective that you accomplished with the facility, and like, I just really appreciate that. And so,
for the butt.
And no butt. And actually,
oh,
and
butt.
I have a focusing and right here, which is I recently reread The Raven and Lynn for some other thing. You know, the beginning with the escalator moment in Country and City, and I felt this kind of dissatisfaction, which actually there's something flattening about it that it's utterly convincing, but something flattening about it. And so, if part of the objective of the talk is to help us get off the escalator or think about what it means to not just be on the escalator of continuously making the pastoral mean certain things. It was helpful in that sense. The question I guess I have, or the moment I want to put pressure on, because it's such a crucial moment, it was the most vivid moment for me of the talk, of when he's looking at the sheep and he sees vellum, right? Something to do, and I'm not going to articulate this quite right, but it's an individual to an individual moment, right? When he sees this individual sheep and thinks, well, is that correct? Or
well,
and sheep to me, yeah. And like, since you're resisting holistic and you advocate for slime, right?
Yeah.
The fact that that reading is premised on an individual recognizing the individual sheep, right? I just wondered about the collectivity of sheep. Do you see the kind of wedge? I don't really know what it means, but I feel it. That there's a sort of wedge there, that the fact, it feels anthropomorphic. I guess if I was going to simplify it, I'd say it feels anthropomorphic still, that you have a character looking at a sheep, recognizing the potential for breaking into writing, and that the sheep represents the writing materials, and that takes us back. That feels...
The
sheep's perspective.
No.
You know what I mean? But I don't believe the sheep's perspective. I don't mean to quite dumb it down that way. Yeah.
No, I think that do you want the line again? I mean,
no, I just want to know what you think of that. Like, if that holds any water for you or not, you could just say that doesn't matter to me.
Let me parrot back. Your question, as I understand it, is I heard several things in it. One of which I think is the sort of how would you approach sheep? Would you approach it? Does it make sense to actually articulate an individual sheep as an entity as opposed to a sheep from a flock? Okay, I think that's a really salient point. I would say that that's also marks a limit on my expertise. At which point I start to go and read Thamaral's essays on sheep behavior. Because she really knows about sheep and watches them and tries to model a set of interactions between them where they are not scripted by human concerns. In other words, I think sheep, whatever sheep
want.
Yeah, I
get that. I get
okay,
that
the question, because the
I,
question, right.
Yeah.
In other words, can an animal be sort of enfranchised within a language of sort of human rights or human desires?
Yeah.
No, I agree. There's a limit on that. And I sort of talk about that in another instance in terms of an empty set. The idea that the question of what sheep might want, if it makes sense to actually inscribe it within a discourse of lack, okay, the syntax of this gets torturous, is that, I don't know what sheep want. I mean, there are people who do know what sheep want, that they want to get to be sheep. Which is a fairly sort of, sensibly circular kind of response. They want to be left alone.
My question is about, I can't articulate it. It's about the fact that it's an individualizing moment and that there's a community
Individualizing
between the sheep and the character.
And
that the writing issue that is brought up is actually collective and communal. Not that the sheep just might want to see itself as a part of a flock.
No, okay. I was just responding to a variety of things I had. I mean, let's read the line. Is not this a lamentable thing, that of the skin of an innocent lamb should be made parchment? Now, a game is being played there because of the phrase innocent lamb. So there's a sort of a rhetorical deployment of another lamb. In that moment, to provide a kind of a hit of ultimate reference, that parchment being scribbled o'er should undo a man. But immediately, what takes the focus is the parchment, and the parchment as parchment is really what's the focus of Jack's attention, and that starts to break down immediately into its constituent parts. Some say the bee stings. But I say, 'tis the bee's wax, the wax that seals the parchment, that actually makes the legal document valid. For I did but seal once to a thing, and I was never my own man since. So the object is really the parchment, and what he's doing is discerning the manufactured animal remains and plant remains that actually creates this object before him. So at that very moment, you're dealing with a particular use value of part of a sheep, not a sheep per se. What he's doing is he's spectralizing the object, and it's actually a completely sort of Marxist moment. It's the table dancing in Capital, and that's what Jack is doing here essentially, rhetorically. He's animating the object so that people can discern the amount of work, energy, labor that goes into producing the parchment as a stable object, something that remains the same, which in a kind of pre-industrial society, the list of those objects that don't change is much more restrictive than ours. I'm interested in that deployment of, it's really possible. Hallucinating an animal. So, but I think it trades on an awareness of a lamb. Okay, let's up the ante. It's not a sheep; it's a lamb. A lamb that also has immediately sacral connotation.